Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped. Through his blood,
step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichiku today.
Just wave those hands to him. Just honor him. Honor him. He has a gift for us. Just lift your heads, lift your hands, and lift your hearts and worship him.
Yahweh, Yahweh, where would that be if not for you? That's why I sing. Yahweh, Yahweh, I worship. I worship you. I worship you.
Father, we give you praise. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for all that you've done in the first, the second, and the third service today. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. We worship you from the depths of my heart. From the depths of our hearts, Lord, we worship you. From the depths of our hearts, we worship you. We praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit of the living God, impart such wisdom in this moment. Through wisdom, strengthen our hearts to walk in the light of the revelations of your word. Through wisdom, strengthen our hearts to apply ourselves to the dictates of your spirit. Let there be a download of divine strategies. Let men live here knowing what to do. Let men live here baptized with that spirit of wisdom that positions men to always be in the right place, always be there at the right time, always saying the right things, and always meeting the right people. Kai! Epu shande kaya! Okay, Rugo. Your word has gone forth, Father. Okwage simgaba. We are going. Just wave those hands and worship him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We bless your name. Miracles are happening in this fourth service. Someone with a toothache, very, very bad toothache. Another person with a hole in your teeth, your hole has been filled. That hole has been filled. You are healed. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you praise. Thank you. Lift your two hands towards the heavens. I decree and declare under this anointing, under this unction, whatever was not moving forward starts moving forward with speed. Whatever was not working starts working effectively in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Say thank you, Father. Say, as I receive the word of God today, I increase in wisdom. And through wisdom, I have success upon success. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering of praise today. Come on, bless the Lord. Welcome everybody by your side, to the left and to the right. Make sure you get to know their names as they get to know yours. Hallelujah. Now, I want everybody to listen to me. Everybody, please be very well arranged. Ushers, arrange people as... I want you to listen to me very carefully. Hear me very well. What is about to start now is appointed by the Spirit. It's a product of the prayers of my heart. Many times, I always say, and maybe you have heard me say it from this altar, that I pray that every believer will be financially rich. So that we can get this money thing out of the way, so we can serve the living God. Because we don't come to God for money. And why I say that is that by the time you're financially very comfortable, you will find out that what the heart of a man seeks is God, not money. But when you're talking to someone who is struggling financially, who all he needs now is God's intervention for him to pay his rent, for him to pay his children's school fees, for him to get some company, for him to get a job, and especially in an economic climate like we have in Nigeria and in different parts of Africa and some other parts of the world, where without the intervention of God, some people will die before their time. When you're talking about certain things, when a person is in that state, all that a hungry man wants to hear when you're telling him God is that God that will help me quench the hunger. Give me food. And you understand what I'm saying? And if we can get that out of the way, when I was closing the service, in the third service, I was prompted by the Spirit of the Lord to tell us that I have a gift, and genuinely I did. But I knew by the Spirit I had a gift, but I didn't know what the gift was. So I kept praying in the Spirit, Lord, you prompted me to say I have a gift. What is it? And so while I was in the car, I have seen a few people that I asked to see me at the end of the service. And I'm praying to enter back into the service. And the Lord said, that thing you plan to do last quarter of the year, he said, you start it now. So my plan is that the last quarter of the year, I'm going to dedicate it to addressing financial prosperity. But God says, I should dedicate the next 3 months of the fourth service. The fourth service is what we call the Church for Pros. It's a special service. So we have the normal first, second, and third service. The first service is what we call Sunrise Church. We call it spiritual, you know, Solution Mountain. You come in, you pray, you do quite a lot of things. The second is Church Plus. The third is Super Family Church. The third is very specialized. That's where we talk about personal development, personal growth, success, corporate success, you know, prosperity, and things that have to do with practically our progress and practical success in life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then we get into the Word of God and use the principles of the Scriptures to teach ourselves and then grow by the wisdom of God. So today, I'm going to be introducing it. I'm now licensed to address. And let me tell you, when God licenses a man to address a thing, what it means is that you are anointed to produce results in those areas. So, I'm excited because in the next 3 months, you're going to be walking into levels and dimensions of financial prosperity like you've never known it before. And instead of just Pastor David and a few of us who has to teach it, we now have an army of the Lord that can go forth and be a blessing to the people of God. Because what you know, you can raise your own house. Your children can learn. The people you disciple can learn. You have a company. You have all the space where you influence. There is a whole lot of people you can impact with it. Somebody say, I hear. Ask your neighbor, are you ready? Come on, say, are you ready? All right. Let's start with what I call understanding the basics of financial wealth. I won't go too deep. I will whet our appetite today. That should unleash us. There is a journey. Let me tell you how I walk with God. When I don't study to just be enlightened, I study to produce and prove, to produce proofs and prove the will of God in what I'm studying. That means if you're joining us in this, don't just write on paper. Let it be written on the tablets of your heart. Hold on to those truths and make war with them until you see the will of God enforced on your life. Somebody say it here. Let's start with Proverbs chapter 17, verse 16. Caution. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 16. I want you to hold that neighbor by your side. And read that scripture to that neighbor. One to go. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? One more time. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom? Let's look at the amplified version. In amplifying it, it will explain it a little more better. The amplified version. Of what use is money in the hand of a self-confident fool? Reduce that in a bit. I need business now. At the barest minimum. Of what use is money in the hand of a self-confident fool? To buy skillful and godly wisdom, when he has no understanding or heart for it. What you don't have an understanding of, and you don't have a heart for, will not last in your hands. Even if by some means it finds its way in your hands, it won't stay. What you don't have an understanding of and you don't have a heart for will never stay in the hands of a man who doesn't have an understanding and a heart for it. Never. I've seen a lot of people who want to be financially wealthy, but I've only seen very few people who have an understanding of it and who have a heart for it. There is a heart for financial wealth, and especially God's way. Because God's way, you won't steal. He won't bless it. God's way, you won't sleep around to get money from anybody. It won't be a product of immorality that I have a guy in my life, I have a sugar mommy in my life. You won't. God's way, you won't bribe your way through. You won't. I had a pastor who was talking in Abuja, talking to her members, and he was addressing many of them who are public servants and civil servants. He said, you're a civil servant. Look at what your salary is. Look at a few things you can do with your business. All this money you're getting, where are you coming from? He said, you are stealing and you're going to hell. And she was saying it with all. He said, be calling yourself a Christian and be stealing in your office, you're going to hell. And then someone commented on that. He said, it's hard to be a Christian. These people now, if they don't steal in Nigeria, how can they make money? If they don't steal, how can they make money? If they don't steal, how can they make money? If they don't bribe their way through, how can they get contracts from the government? If you want to be genuine and be holy and live the life of Christ, how can you have an edge against unbelievers who have a thousand ways to cut corners, who have different ways that they can get that money? For example, you're a Christian girl. You want to live a chaste life, a pure life. And there are girls who have their real boyfriend that is there, they try. Then the other boyfriend that is for, that one is for rent. Then this other one is for monthly allowance. Then this other one is for the other daddy that checks me up. And every day she comes out and she's on flashy clothes. I mean, she's with her iPhone 16 Pro Max. She's with her Peruvian, Bolivian, Brazilian, every Irian hair. I mean, this girl can have a hair worth 1.5 million on her hair, and it's like nothing. And you, that you are serving the Lord, with your synthetic fiber. And polyester blouse. And Maria Amaka. Let me. So, please, do you understand? How many of you, wave your hands if you're getting me. How many of you get it? Okay. Ask your neighbor, do you have a heart for wisdom? Say, not every man can bear wisdom. One of the fathers and mentors I studied as a very young man, following in his footsteps to understand financial wealth, kingdom way, Because to understand financial wealth, to be holy, your soul is prospering, your faith is prospering, and you're wealthy. That's a different way. You can only learn that from a kingdom man. I was studying him. He said he had 3 days where he told God, "You must show me the secret to financial prosperity." And the Lord told him, he said, "If I tell you, I don't know if you will like it." The Lord told him, "If I tell you, I don't know if you will like it." Not everybody has a heart for wisdom. Do you have? Because everything we will study in the next 3 months in Church for Pros will be a waste of time, a waste of opportunity, a waste of your resources, of anything that you put into it, if you don't have a heart for it. Caution. That's the place we begin. Give me the New Living Translation of that. Let's see it a little more closer. Hold that neighbor, call him by his or her name. Say, "Mr. David." Say, "Hear the word of the Lord." Talk to that neighbor, want to go. Since he has no heart for learning. My prayer for you is that you open up your heart and cooperate with the Holy Spirit to receive light. Somebody say light. Come on, shout light. Come on, shout light. Okay. There are about 8 dimensions of wealth. 8 of them. What people call wealth. Financial wealth is only one dimension. So if you're only wealthy in terms of finances, you're a very poor person. There are very financially rich poor people. And that's why they can't stop stealing. They can't stop stealing. Most of the people in authority in Africa, especially, but it's cut across all over because it's a human nature problem. But, you know, some other civilized nations have systems that curtail a whole lot of things. But when you have countries where there is no rule of law, where there are no working systems, where the institutions that should run that country is already sabotaged and captured by those in power, and they can't exist independent of those in power, you have recklessness and madness on rampage. Everybody is stealing from anywhere. Most of those people who call themselves politicians, if you ask them now, if there is a law that is passed that nobody can get any contract in any way connected to you in any form, and you can, and they can't steal from politics, and they can't get any privilege, that everybody should be earning only 500,000 a month, naira a month, that if you want politics, let it be service, all of them retire. Many of them, if you remove them from politics, they can't run a successful company. All the companies they are trying to start with their stolen money, they are running to the ground. And it's not just politicians. It cuts across people in authority, including people who are in religious places like pastors. I teach all my pastors, I tell them. The reason people like us are rich is because from the onset, we told God we don't want nothing from the church. So we don't take salary. There is no message sold, no book in this church, no training. You pay for any tuition, that 1 naira comes to me, it goes back to them. From the day this ministry started till today. What will happen if You won't have to collect money. Can you stand alone by yourself? That's a serious thing. I told them. Read to your neighbor and read out loud. One to go. Since he has no heart. For example, when you're teaching someone that there are different dimensions. For example, this week, you're going to see gifts from everywhere. In all manner coming to me. And someone says, because I'm a pastor. It's not because I'm a pastor. You've forgotten that many of us are pastor's children. Did your father become rich because he's a pastor? Many of us have pastor relatives. You see, when you isolate a few rich pastors, you think all pastors, and just being a pastor makes a people, a person rich. How many of you know pastors that are suffering? Are you aware? Many, many years ago, I don't even know what the data is now. Barnard Group did, you know, a data and found out many years ago, quite many, over a decade ago, that on a monthly basis, about 1,500 pastors were resigning, only in the U.S. Even in Africa, people, we have people that we started this journey with, they are frustrated. After a while, they get frustrated and go and look for something else to do. People still think that just by being a pastor, oh, pastors are trying now. Go and open church. Let's see. Now you go hurry, go close the church. So there is a problem that people have that whenever they see someone prospering, they try to suppress, they try to minimize and undermine the process that brings that kind of success. They are looking for a reason why there is no way this person could be this prosperous or rich. They just find a way to explain it out. Explain it away, sorry. Find a way to explain it away. Many pastors are suffering. There are only very few pastors that are prosperous financially. And I'm telling you, many, many pastors are suffering. The day the Lord taught me this, the dimensions of wealth, I became a wealthy man. A wealthy man. See one of it. Apostle Paul, for those of us who are in ministry, if I minister to you and impart unto you spiritual what? Things. Is it too much that you minister me back or give me back your material things? That means the secret to wealth is providing value. Simple. If I give you value, and anywhere there is a need, there is a value to provide. Once there is a need, and people have spiritual needs. And I'm not just talking about needs for salvation, needs for deliverance, needs for healing. No, even needs for growth. People want to grow. If you see the different needs people have, are you aware that when someone is born in a family and the person never had a father, that there is a need that is created in that heart? And most times, the people who don't know their father or know their mother in life, if they are trying to know, are they alive? Why did they abandon me? And sometimes children grow up going to search for who gave birth to them. It's called a need for identity. A need for acceptance, a need for mentorship, and a need for familyhood. And whoever provides it for that person gets the heart. And when you get the heart of a man, you get his hands. Those are needs. Those Those are needs. Needs. But our focus this first month and maybe in the next 2 months will be on financial wealth. Because if I start talking now that there are people that they need money now, and we need to solve this need for money now before we start telling them a good name is wealth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The guy is telling you, I've not eaten for the past 2 days. I was able to just drop by a friend's house and the food was finishing. I joined. That's the only thing I'm carrying now. The other day I was coming out of church and I met someone that they said almost fainted. For 3 days, no food. And yes, people are facing tough times now. And we have to address it. How many of you believe so? Praise God. All right. Write this down. Financial wealth simply means valuable and appreciable assets. Financial wealth. You see the people that are not run, that are not writing, they have no heart for learning. Watch them. I didn't call anybody a fool. They just, immediately after service, they just want to come and meet me. Pastor, I have a problem. What is it? Say, Pastor, I need help. Just pray for me. My business is not moving. Learn now. Financial wealth is valuable and appreciable assets. Watch this. That's what it means. Assets first. Assets are tools and means of making money and multiplying money. So whenever you have an asset, it directly or indirectly brings in more money. So financial assets is first of all very valuable and a valuable, appreciable assets. Then riches and then possessions. Riches and possessions. That's what financial wealth is. Now I want you to locate where you are. There are 4 levels of financial wealth. You must know where you are and know what next level you must get to. And if you want to jump classes, you can. But you must know what it would take for you to jump classes. Those of you that have a heart for it, say, I have a heart. 4 levels of financial wealth. First level is financial lack. That's the first level. We call it not enough level. Meaning the person wants to do things and is never having means enough to do it. That means the person is in the financial lack level. I tell people, you are not yet rich until you have the means. Somebody shout means. Come on, shout means. To do the basic things you ought to do, and to do the things you have as your vision, to sponsor your vision. You're not yet rich until you have that. So the first level is financial lack level. The second level is financial independence. That's the second level. It means just enough level. See, people who are under the financial lack level are always dependent on others to survive. If someone doesn't help them, if someone doesn't give to them, if someone doesn't borrow money to them, they will barely make it. They will barely make it. So you get to the place what we call financial independence. That level is that you have just enough. In contemporary language, we'll call them the middle class in a society, who at least have the means to cater for the basic needs for a healthy, normal standard of life that they should be having. And they have enough for that. Okay? And you and I know in Nigeria, the middle class is shrinking very fast. Very fast. It's either you're very rich or you're struggling now. Because if you have a family and you're earning 500,000 naira in Nigeria now, you're broke. I hope you know. It means the standard of living for your family will reduce very drastically for you people to be surviving. So that's next one. The third level is financial abundance. That's where you and I want to be. The third level is financial abundance. That's where you have the level where you call it more than enough. The first one is not enough. The second one is just enough. The third level is more than enough level. You now have more than enough. After you take care of the basic things, the way you want it, your children go to the kind of school you want them to go, you live in the kind of apartment you want, you have the different things, you live the way you want to live, your standard of living is very wonderful. And after you've done that, you have much more. You have much more. More than enough. That's financial abundance. It's not yet abundant until it's overflowing. Say that with me. So nobody is yet living in abundance with just enough. Abundance is much more than enough. More than enough. More than enough. Not much more than enough, sorry. The last one, which is the fourth level, is financial dominion. So first level, financial lack. Second level, financial independence. Third level, financial abundance. And fourth level, the financial dominion. The first level, financial lack, is not enough level. The second level, financial independence, is just enough level. The third level, financial abundance, is more than enough level. And then the last one, financial dominion, is much more than enough level. Much more than enough level. That's where God takes men he can now trust with wealth. At that moment, in that level, wealth now becomes a ministry in your hands. Somebody say, I hear. Wave your hands if you're getting it. Are you sure you're getting it? Now, I want you to understand the basics of financial prosperity. I need you to listen carefully. Financial prosperity does not answer to mere wishes. I wish things can change. And it does not answer to misdirected prayers. Pray from now to tomorrow. Lord, give me money. Lord, make me rich. It doesn't answer to misdirected prayers. Watch the word I use, misdirected prayers. It only answers to the understanding of the covenant of prosperity. Financial prosperity in God's kingdom is a covenant. You know what a covenant is? A pact between two people that has specific terms. If you keep to this term, I keep to this term. If you don't keep to that term, this I won't keep to my terms. It's simple. I pray God will grant you understanding. Let me say this again. Financial prosperity only answers to the understanding of the covenant. And then it answers to applied truth. That's wisdom, the wisdom of God. It answers to the covenant and it answers to applied truth, the wisdom of God. There is a wisdom that creates wealth. There is a wisdom that multiplies wealth. There is a wisdom that sustains wealth. There is. And the more you increase, for example, our ministry started a project of over 500 million and is going on now as I'm speaking. If you've not heard it before me saying it, you're just hearing it for the first time. You will never see me call anybody here. Those of you who will give 1 million come out. Those of you who will give 2 million, no. Because there is a wisdom to it. And you know something about wisdom. Somebody say keys. Wisdom are keys. When you don't have a key to a door, you will struggle to open it. When you have a key to a door, opening that door becomes the easiest thing. Sweatless. Lose your key and try to enter your house. Sometimes you're breaking, then you're not able to break it. You go and find somebody that can cut something. Is that right? But find that right key for that door. And immediately you get there, it becomes the easiest thing to open. Wherever there is struggle, is proof wisdom is lacking. Let me say that again. Wherever there is struggle, if you are struggling financially now, and I don't care if you have a very big car and if you're already living in a comfortable house, but genuinely you're struggling financially now, and you have to be very sincere with yourself. What it means is that there is wisdom for the level of financial wealth you desire and you ought to be in that you lack. The key is wisdom. There is something you lack. You don't know him. You know it. There are many people that appear to be wealthy but are not wealthy. There are many companies that are making noise today that in the next 5 years will not be anymore. Don't be fooled. There is audio wealth and there is real wealth. What you want is not to appear to be rich. What you want is to be wealthy. And the truth is, the truly wealthy people don't make noise. Deep rivers flow in majestic silence. When you have substance, it's empty vessels that want to appear rich. When I see a man who is making every effort to convince me how wealthy he is, I don't get into business with him. There is something wrong somewhere. Wave your hands if you're here. So, therefore, I want you to tell your neighbor, say, financial wealth is something you have to be taught into. I'm not hearing you. Say it again. Say, financial wealth is something you have to be taught into. No, you don't pray your way into financial prosperity. You can pray your way and receive mercy from God and have financial miracle, have a provision you need for a while, but that's not financial prosperity. You don't pray your way into financial prosperity. You learn your way into it. When God started giving our ministry certain great visions many, many years ago. These visions were lofty. Every time you tell me, move, do this one. I started looking at the finances coming into the church, and it was not going to do this thing. I knew something had to shift. And one day the Lord said to me, he says, son, what are you doing? Stop commanding and start learning. You've been commanding for a while. No matter how you command and command, until the clouds are full, they don't empty themselves. Command from now till tomorrow. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. Go and sow the seeds of wisdom. Go and learn. So I began to pick. You can imagine those books were already in my library. Kai, the information you need for your next enthronement is already by your side. Those books were in my library. He told me, pick this. I told my wife, I said, Mama, I've got to be. I went to an Anglican communion somewhere. They had a lodge. And I stayed there for 2 weeks. Fasting, not shouting. Fasting and studying. And after I finished studying, I meditate, praying in tongues. Lord, show me what I'm not seeing with the ordinary eyes. Then I'll read again. I study my Bible. I study the books. And I started coming out with actionable plan. What am I going to apply when I come out? 2 weeks after I came out, it was not up to 3 months. It was not. The same membership, the same church, nothing changed. Our finances more than tripled. Everything rose. You don't pray your way. You learn your way. So, why I call it misdirected prayer is that the prayer you should be praying is, teach me, O Lord. Show me, O Lord. Teach me, O Lord. Show me, O Lord. Not, Father, give me. Not, Father, I need my next breakthrough in my business. Father, show me the strategy for my next breakthrough. You learn your way. I pray you have a heart for this. How many of you have a heart for this? Let me warn you again. Let me warn you. There are so many people who have opinions about this or that. I used to tell people, I said, if you don't have proofs, shut up your mouth. That's what I do. Any area I don't have proofs, I close my mouth. I suspend my opinion. And I humble myself in meekness. Who has the proof that I can learn from? How do I learn? What must I learn? Somebody say, I hear. So you don't pray your way into financial prosperity. You learn your way into it. You must be willing and committed to sit at the feet of Jesus, the feet of the Lord. You must be willing to sit down and go through the school to be taught. Jesus said, learn from me. Learn from me. Take my yoke, it is easy. My burden is light. I am meek and lowly. I will not put on you what is ill-fitting. But learn from me. You will find rest. You will know that there is such as the blessing of the Lord that makes a man rich. You will know that there is such as sweatless prosperity. You will know that there is such as peace and prosperity. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's the truth. Learn from me. Who is learning? Who is learning? Come, I'm asking you, who is learning? You see, when you pray, you should majorly pray for the delivery of the keys to unending flow of financial prosperity. Father, give me the keys. Anywhere you see keys, it means principles, wisdom. Keys means principles, wisdom. That's what it is. Keys. Lord, hand to me the keys to unending flow of financial prosperity. There are people that their prosperity doesn't flow like a river. They start well, they have a season of plenty, and after that, everything goes down. They start struggling again, then they charge. Something's going to change. So in terms, it's always this rising and falling, and you can't build anything sustainable without consistency. You can't build anything sustainable without being consistent in it. You want prosperity that flows like a river. Everyone under the sound of my voice, from today, your prosperity and peace shall continuously flow like a river. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. How does this key come? It comes by revelation. And the Spirit of the Lord will begin to teach you and bring revelations to you. It comes by revelation. Revelation is knowledge impacted directly to your spirit. Impacted directly. It's not head knowledge, information. It's revelation, heart knowledge. Heart knowledge. For example, there are many Christians that know that when you sow seeds, you can receive harvest. They've known it. They've heard it. They've read it. Then some have tried it once, twice, and it worked for them. And they saw the results, and they got some testimony. But yet, they don't know why they are not living by it. It means what they have is information. What they don't have is revelation. It has not yet registered in your spirit. So when there is an impartation of knowledge, an impartation of the spirit of wisdom, to practice that thing that God is giving you, you know you're ready. I will be pushing us and, you know, rounding up by looking at this. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17 to 18. Isaiah chapter 48. Verse 17 to 18. Hold your neighbor. Make sure you have the right neighbor. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Read to your neighbor. One, two, go. I am the Lord your God who teaches you and who leads you by the way. I teach you to prosper. So you're taught into financial profit, into financial prosperity by the Lord. I teach you to profit. And I lead you by the way you should go. Look at the next verse, verse 18. Everybody read verse 18. One to go. Your word peace there is shalom. It also means your prosperity. Then your peace would have been like a river, flowing like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Find me the translation that uses prosperity or your success. If you can, find me in that verse 18. Give me the message translation. Let me see. While you're searching. If you have listened all along to what I told you, your life would have flowed full like a river. Blessings rolling in like waves from the sea. He said, if you listen to what I'm teaching you. See, there was a day. My life changed. A day my life changed. The Holy Spirit talked to me in a language I understood. He said, David, he said, life not supposed hard. He said, nah, people know they grieve for me. They know they grieve. He said, I didn't create this life.
to be had. And even in this Adam's world, he said, I came that you may have and enjoy life. He said, now people know they listen. If I tell them A, they do B. If I say go right, they go left. They're always wiser than me in their own mind. They are always smarter. They feel like they know how to do it more than me, who created them and who created the whole earth. You know, they listen. He said, oh, that you paid attention to my commandments, what I'm teaching you, then your prosperity would have been like a river. Not today you heat, tomorrow. No, it's ever flowing, and your success like the waves of the sea. Before I close, I would like you to write, because there are seven things and I want you to start working on it before we start working on it. I would like you to write this down. And we're going to be closing now. Write this down. So I can point you right. Seven basic keys to building wealth. Seven basic keys. And we are going to go into the scriptures and see how the wisdom of God shows us exactly. It shows, it's very real, very practical. The first key is the faith factor. The faith factor. That's it. The first key, number one. Write it down. I'm not going to deal with it today, but I want to show you what we are going to be dealing with. The second key is the wisdom factor. The wisdom factor. The first key is the faith factor. The second key is the wisdom factor. The third key is the network factor. The network factor. That's the third key. The fourth key, every king has those who crowned it. No king crowns himself. And wealth revolves around a circle. Always. I'll get there. The fourth key is the earning factor. You see, this first three is what distinguishes those who earn small and those who earn big. Many people, where they begin with is earning factor. I'm looking for what to do. I'm looking for what to do. And I have a warning. For everyone I raise, please hear me. Kai. I always say you must move from being skillful in doing what you do to earn to being skillful in building systems that will keep that in earning if you're not there. You must move from being skillful in doing what you do to earn to being skillful in building systems that will make that thing to keep earning, especially when you're not there. And you have to keep testing it by standing away and watching if it can continue to earn without you being there. Because those who don't will suffer like this all the days of their life. And as they grow old, so their income grows old. Anything that will happen, and if anything happens to you physically, your finance and your earning capacity reduces, it means you're laboring the labor of fools. Misdirected efforts and misdirected diligence. And the truth is, Jesus says, the poor you will always have. Because there are always people who will resist his wisdom. Are you hearing me? Wave your hands if you're getting me. We are going to take this. It takes a process, but you must know where you're going. How many have I given you? What's the first factor? What's the second factor? What's the third factor? What's the fourth factor? The fifth factor, the savings factor. The savings factor. So you have to learn strategy, budget, and prudence. And then the sixth factor is the multiplication factor. I don't want to use the word investments because it has been bastardized. So we are going to tell you exactly what it is. It's actually investments, but the word investments gets everybody moving around looking for wherever they're going to invest their money, and they are losing a whole lot. And we're going to work on all these things practically by the grace of God. You have to earn and save to have what to multiply. Did you get that? There is no other way out. Let me say it again. There is no other way out. Even if a person wins lottery, even if a person by inheritance comes into some money and doesn't master these things, give it a matter of months and some years, that money will leave his hands and get back to those who have the money. Nobody can have wealth without these things. These are universal principles. The world didn't invent it. From scripture, the word of God, the wisdom of God taught it. Nobody is a greater and wiser businessman than the Holy Spirit. Not one. When you learn to operate by the Spirit, you will beat everybody in your field. The seventh factor is the management factor. That's the last. What we call stewardship. When you understand the management, those are the places where those who now enter financial dominion, master, they become dangerous, dangerously efficient stewards. Stewards. Can you see 1 billion and be normal? And not take it and buy flat screen. Not say just a little. Let me just improve. No, can you be normal? And not change your car that is still moving very well and okay. And doesn't have to have the latest version. Can you? You know, when people have been deprived for too long, deprivation and poverty turns people into erratic and emotional consumers. God bless you. Did you get it? What did I say? How many of you heard it? Let me see who can shout it. Shout it again. Erratic and emotional consumers. That's why those who make money exploit the poor. They are the ones who make the money to spend. They make products for the poor. Did you get it? Stand on your feet. Let's close. Did you get blessed? Who is in for this journey for 3 months? We are going to deal with practical things, right? By the grace of God, whom I serve, by the end of this year, none of you who are committed to church for pros will again find yourself in the level of financial lack. Amen.
it takes time. Oh, there are some of you that the shift will be into financially the independence, because the lack is serious. Then some of you are already in the level of independence, and God is taking you now to the level of what? No, this is a process. Oh, it's a process. God can just like that overnight give you a financial miracle by favor, but God doesn't give you financial prosperity. Financial miracle is different from financial prosperity. That you received 20 million today doesn't mean the 20 million will be in the person's hands by December. So you've got to understand, when it comes to wealth, you must be patient. Follow through. Learn it. Practice it. Apply the wisdom. Apply the wisdom. Be patient. Sometimes it will seem as if it's not working. But it's not money doubling principle. It's lifestyle principle. Principle for living. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are things you plant that takes 4 months to harvest. There are things you plant that takes 5 years to harvest. Wait on the process. Don't give up on it. We are going to close with two scriptures I want you to be meditating on. Write it down. When I come next Sunday, that's where we are going to begin with. Next Sunday is Day of Honor, so it will be the Sunday after Day of Honor. Day of Honor is Day of Honor. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. Write it down and put it on the screen. We are going to quote it and then pray in the spirit and close. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 and Job chapter 36 verse 11. Please meditate on these scriptures. Somebody say, Pastor, is this what is going to give me money? Yes, so that's the thing. Do you have a heart for it? How many of you want to have much more than your natural strength, ability, and intelligence can provide for you? Then listen. This is the supernatural edge, the word of God. Hold that neighbor. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David, hear the word of the Lord. Read to that neighbor, want to go. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of. I am telling you, you will eat the good of this land. In the name of Jesus Christ. And let me explain by revelation. There is a wealth of the world and there is a wealth of the kingdom. So when the world is broke, there is what we call his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Job 36. Meditate on this scripture until we come next. One to go. If they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years. Is that going to be your life? That's my life. I'm spending my days in prosperity. Lift your hands and say, prosperity days are here. Shout it with every command of authority. Say, the prosperity days are here. Pray in the spirit for a minute. Pray in the spirit for a minute. Come on, charge up your spirit. Don't be lazy. I thought you said you have a heart for it. I thought you said you have a heart for it. There are things that should be stirring you up. You can't be talking prosperity and not have a new surge of energy. There has to be a new surge of energy. Leko shataya, lingredosa, lebaya laka, lingreboros sandaya, lingredesundaya, Libra de cushion de Libra kata. Prosperity days are here. Oh, abundant prosperity days are here. Oh, in the name of Jesus, prosperity days. Oh, we wait no more. We wait no more. Prosperity days are here. Oh, abundance, days of abundance are here. Days of financial dominion. They are here. Yes, Lord. Lord, we give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we pray. Lift your hands. May the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all glory, grant to every one of you under the sound of my voice the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, in the knowledge of his will, consigning prosperity according as he himself proposed and designed it, according as he himself ordained it. May you come into the revelation of the blessing of the Lord. From this day moving forward, your peace and your prosperity, your success shall continuously flow like a river. I prophesy and launch you into the realm of unending streams of financial prosperity. Things are just going to keep working. Doors are going to keep opening. The Lord will multiply every seed you sow. Bless the work of your hands. Expand your visions and expand your territory. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And if you receive it, shout your loudest, amen. Amen. Put a mighty praise on it.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.